Are you ready? Hey, get ready. Right after this one, it's the Boomerang Radio Show. I see the Cass is there. Ann Wooten Taylor. Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery. Dr. Cecilia Sims. My main man. Reverend Dr. Deacon Danny Tisdale. All right, folks. Kick back. It's going to be a good one. This is Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. Hey, Brother Tisdale, hey, you recognize that artist?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man. How are you doing?
I'm blessed.
Good.
Hey, man. It doesn't get... Oh, that's Dr. CC, Dr. Sims. Hey, what's going on, Dr. Sims?
Lord, trying to dodge these fires and this bad weather out here.
You can't dodge the fire. You might evacuate.
Oh, I dodged it so far. Praying works, don't it? Yes, it
is. Those wildfires in California now, I've lived there. Danny lived there. Dr. Demery and Dr. Sims, they hanging in. They're trying to hold down California.
Yeah. Oh, it's only about 40% contained, and it was about four blocks away from me.
That is,
oh, wow.
So I had trouble sleeping the whole nine, but I said, Lord, let me go to sleep, okay?
And oh, no.
So whatever will be, so the wind shifted. How about that?
Hey, that's good enough. Hey, well, now, and you know the thing about that, with those fires out there, could you smell the smoke from where you are?
Yes. They told us not even to go outside, especially those that have asthma and things like that. The sky was completely yellow. It even blocked out the sun rays, which that was not a problem. It was hot already. But it just made it just more stifling, and they have the soot from the fire you know, that was in the air. It's right. just a mess. It's oh, just a mess.
Oh, it doesn't do well for your health at all.
No.
You know, I remember getting caught up in one of those, and Danny and Dr. Demery, perhaps you have as well. And there was one, I was living in the northern part of San Bernardino near the mountains, and there was a fire that broke out in DeVore. And I remember one Saturday morning, I woke up and it was just beautiful outside. And so I decided I was up late. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to just take another nap and wake up. I got back up. It was noon. It was noon and the sky was black. The smoke was everywhere. It was just stifling. It was just absolutely awful. And it's so thick and heavy that it penetrates your house. It can come in your home. And you're smelling that. Oh, my goodness. Danny, were you close to any fires when you lived here? I lived there, rather.
I worked several fires. Didn't particularly, it wasn't my favorite thing to do. I would use an N95 mask or a respirator. And even when you get through working 16 or 32 hours within that fire, you're covered with soot. And then you blow your nose and you blow just out black soot.
Oh man,
nose, man. I didn't enjoy that, and my allergies would always mess up. So every time they had a fire, I tried to avoid going.
Right, right. Now, in your occupation at the time, dealing with electricity and things like that, but a lot of times it would destroy the power lines, so you had to go out there. Now, were you ever involved in repairing some of those lines that were destroyed by the fire?
Many times we would have to go out, because what you have to understand is when those fires start, sometimes they're actually started by lightning. Mm-hmm. And see, on power lines, they use what they call lightning arresters. But the only way, they've never been able to measure the voltage of lightning, ever. There's no instrument made that ever survived a hit of lightning, so they can determine how many volts it is, you know.
Amazing.
What they were wanting to do. But what happens is when it opens up a tap, there's going to be sparks. And if it's a lot of dry grass and stuff around that, it's going to start a fire.
It's going to start a fire. And a lot of people don't realize that as well. You know, lightning will start a fire. And California is so dry. It is so dry that it doesn't take much. And Dr. Demery, I'm talking to you, Ann, because you don't live there, right? And it's just so dry, it doesn't take much for it to start a fire, you know. And it could be started by anything. Somebody has a campfire that got out of control. Some homeless person maybe trying to get warm or whatever it is, right? And like Danny said, lightning. And, you know, and the thing about it is I look at the differences in the climate out here on the East Coast versus there, where we just had two downpours today. It rains. I'm serious. Perhaps once a week. I'm not over-exaggerating at all. If we don't get rain this week, we'll get rain next week, and sometimes a couple of times during the week, you know? Mm-hmm. It saves
We didn't get any of that rain from Sister Kay. She just walked past us.
Wow!
So we're the ones who needed it. But from the precipitation, it helped the firefighters get it from the last report that I got from the news was 40% contained, but the winds kicked up so bad. So I haven't listened to the news today. I kind of stay away from it so it wouldn't dampen my day. But the sun is shining bright. It's not as yellow as it was outside. So prayerfully, they got control of it. But I've been in a house fire, so I know what Danny's talking about. That soot, it was all in my throat, on my tongue, in my nose. I'm trying to save everybody, and my adrenaline kicked in, not knowing that I put my lungs at risk. So it's not it's not a cool thing to be in. But our William, our water was infected out here.
You said it was?
Telling us not to drink the tap water. And I'm like, well, what the heck? We're not getting rain for it to mess with the water. So the fire is getting in the, you know, the water lines. I was just like, I was done. And then the electric grid, all of that, and telling us to. My phone was just ringing off the hook with alerts, okay?
Yeah, I can imagine.
It was just a touchy situation out here.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it is, and we're going to cover some of this stuff today. It's a lot to cover today because I want to talk about the power, again, of your vote. Your vote. You know, folks, as a society, and especially in the United States, this is really the only ammunition that we have. I mean, it's the and believe me, and not only on the national level, but also in your communities, your local cities, your government. And a lot of people tend to ignore that to the rest of our panel. They tend to ignore that. And those are some of the most important votes that you can cast, right? It's not just every 4 years, so we're going to talk about that a little bit. But getting back to the fires, though, not only that, Dr. Sim, you know, and then when you are involved in something like that, then you have to take your clothes to the cleaners because that scent gets into your clothing. Mm-hmm. It gets into your clothes. So, and these politicians, I'm telling you, I'm tired, sick and tired of trying to make sense out of this nonsense. So I just figured, you know, just chop it up. This is absolutely lunacy, what's going on. And we take our senators and our congressmen. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. Now, people want to talk about Democrats, or whether you're Democrat, Republican, independent, or non-existent, as far as voting is concerned, it really doesn't matter. But think about this. These people, these are the highest paid welfare workers in the world.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
It's going to be one of them days.
Don't sound like she in the mood.
She knows I'm fired up. That's what she knows. She knows I'm really upset. And Dr. Demery, he done leaned closer to the camera here. Oh no, you think about this though, folks.
I'm with you on this. Come on.
I got a question for the panel. We're gonna start off just like this. Why are they there and why are they making so much money and they have more vacations than anybody? I don't understand this. Now, you think about this. When is the last piece of positive or legislation that the Republican Party has presented, passed, or anything like that? I'm going to tell you, and I'm getting to this, because it is absolutely sickening. I don't care what you say about the Democrats or anything like that, but at least they're trying to pass some things. Like we're talking about the climate control, okay? They don't believe, think about this, going back some 10, 15, 20 years or so, they either don't believe or because somebody is in their pocket, and I think a whole lot of that has to do with the latter part of that, and somebody's in their pocket, they don't believe in global warming. Now, Dr. Demery, he touched on this before, because Dr. Demery, you've been up there on the north, up there with in Alaska and places like that, where there's supposed to be, and even further, it's supposed to be cold. You're supposed to have these, the ice, you know, it's supposed to be that way. Okay. And you can see it right now where the, levels of water in the ocean is rising, folks. Okay? It's rising because all of these glaciers and everything like that, they are melting. So they're melting because it's getting hotter here. Why is it getting hotter? Okay? So, Dr. Demery, we're going to start with you. Dr. Demery?
I'm here.
Okay. They don't believe that global warming is real. You've got catastrophic fires, not only in California, in Arizona, and places of the nature on the West Coast, but it is even over there. Somewhere overseas, they had some tremendous Europe.
Europe, they've been having a lot of fires in Europe.
Fires over there,
and that's very uncommon.
It is very uncommon.
Had all those deaths over there because of the heat.
Because of the heat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, people don't have air conditioning.
They don't have air conditioner. And now over,
it is hot there normally. It's not, it's like in the 70s and 80s over there in the summer. That's why rich people like to go to Europe for the summer.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't get as hot there as it does here in other places.
Right. Can you imagine you one of these rich people and you go to Europe? Oh, yeah, it's cool over here. No air conditioning. We got the ceiling fan up there. Then it gets to be 100 degrees. Yeah. Okay. All right, bro. Absolutely. So what is it going to take, Dr. Demery, for these people to realize that this thing is real? And if we don't do something to preserve the planet right now, what are our children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, what are we leaving them?
Well, I think the proof is in the pudding, because people didn't think that there were active terrorists until 9/11, which is what we're celebrating today, and remembering those who died, over 3,000 people, until the act happens. And then people finally say, oh, well, we better get a wake-up call. There is such thing as terrorism in the world terrorism. Well, it's the same thing when the, Manhattan is underwater, and you're going to need a boat to drive around New York, then they'll finally get it. But until then, people are just going to be like an ostrich with their head stuck in the sand and ignore the facts. I mean, you can ignore certain things. You can have your opinion, but you can't ignore the facts. You can't ignore science. God gave us science. God gave Luke to the disciples as a physician. And so, you know, Paul called on Luke when he was in the Anatolian Highlands. And so we have to rely on science. I don't think it's something that we, put all of our faith in. But we do have to rely on science and realize that science has a certain amount. I mean, Danny's work, he has to use science and calculations and figures and whatnot. And people can tell him, well, I don't believe in that, Danny. And Danny can say, well, you believe what you want. So, you know, the point being is, like you, William, I mean, you're a stockbroker. I mean, you know, people can try to mix figures around with you, but there's only a certain amount of ways you can crunch those numbers, you know, in certain ways. And those are the facts. And so I think, you know, people are going to get it. I mean, so I don't really worry about it too much. I know that sounds a little strange where I would say, well, how come you don't worry about it? I worry about it, but it's not to the point that I'm going to be panicky over it, because mm-hmm. people are panic and whatnot. You know, during 9/11, people were panicking, running around. I was in the safest place in the world. I was at Camp Pendleton Marine Corps base. I couldn't be in any safer place than that.
Right. So,
we had an M1 Abrams tank that was parked out in front of Gate 1. So I couldn't have been in any safer place than I was. And if you think about it, you can be in no real safer place than you are than you know, when you allow the Lord to guide you and mm-hmm. lead you in your path. But,
well, you know, the Lord must be looking out for me. Well, he has always, all my life, I'm going to tell you why. Because that same Twin Towers that went down, and many of you know this story, if not all of you on this panel, but many of our audience, they don't know, but I'm going to tell you. That World Trade Center, both towers that went down, I trained in one of those towers. I was there. Now, keep in mind, this was, as a matter of fact, it was just, let's see, what's today's date?
11th.
The 11th, 9/11. And I remember this, folks. Now, 9/11, I want you to let this resonate for a little bit. In 1998, there was an attempt attacked on that building, but it didn't work.
Right.
Okay, 98. Right. Okay. Let's see. Was it 98? No.
It was in the 90s.
No, let me take it back. No, that was, it was 3 years prior to me going there. I was there in 98. Must have been 95, 3 years before, and the attack happened 3 years after. I was right there in the middle. Okay.
They put a bomb in the building that time. The bomb at the base of the building.
You're exactly right, Ann. Your facts are correct. At the base of that building. But it didn't destroy that building. That, if any of you have ever been there, okay, I'm speaking of my panel, those buildings were beautiful. They were immaculate. Immaculate building. I mean, we're talking about 100-plus stories, and I had the opportunity of going right on the top. I remember going to, what was it, top of the tower restaurant. And I mean, you're up so high, you're up at 100-some-odd stories, right? And I recall going to the window, and I was so close to the window, I got dizzy. That's how high it was. Wow. But I did get a chance to visit the rooftop too, right? And you would think it was a party on the rooftop up there, but it took a lot of clearance to get inside all of right. that building. Okay. And 3 years later, that building went down. I recall I forgot what firm I was working for at that time. It could have been, I'm not going to give them any free advertising, so I'm not going to call their name. Anyway, okay. I remember going out of my home, and I had I was able to watch TV in my car, right? And I was and I could see, they said, I was listening to the radio, and it says, a plane just struck one of the towers in New York. I said, what? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And I'm thinking, the Twin Towers. I said, that doesn't make a lot of sense. And then a few minutes later, the announcer came on and says, a plane just went through or struck the second tower in New York. I said, God, this is no accident. The first time that I heard the plane going there, I figured that it was some pilot that maybe have, you know, how pilots can lose consciousness, Dr. Demery and Ann and Danny Tisdale and, Dr. Sims. And you know how, and they could, you know, some pilots, you have stories of them losing consciousness, you know, and they have accidents or there's a malfunction with the plane or something like it. But it wasn't that. That was a jumbo jet. The first one. And when the second one.
They strategically headed to that area.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they were so off course.
Absolutely.
In the trajectory where they're supposed to go. Just like with the Pentagon, the same thing.
It was all coordinated. We all know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, they had three targets and there was one that had failed. Yeah. Because there was so much going on. It was chaos. And I thought
the people on the plane jumped. They come here. Was heading towards, I believe it wasn't towards the Pentagon to destroy it or something.
Of course, it hit the Pentagon. Yeah,
but the people elected they was going to die anyway, so they jumped them. And they whooped their behind, and so guess what?
It crashed.
That was the third attempt. Mm-hmm. Right. Two was successful, and you're exactly right, Dr. Sims. The third attempt, the people ruined whatever mission that these clowns were going on.
And those people died, too.
Of course they did.
People died. The plane went down.
Of course they did.
Well, those geniuses were aiming for the White House, but they didn't know which one was the White House. Just, they were stupid. It's like, everybody in the world knows what the capital of the United States looks like, except these terrorists. They're aiming for it. You know, so.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was some of those Republicans in Congress that were flying the plane. But that's a whole nother story. Speaking of stupidity, folks.
It wasn't them.
I know it wasn't. I just want to bring attention. I just want to bring attention to what we're talking about, folks. No, it wasn't them. Okay.
But that's the type of thing they do. They'll start those type of really strange, just make nonsense type of rumors, and their followers agree with it and accept it and spread it, and it boggles the mind. You know what I'm saying? That type of stuff is just taken as gospel.
Well, you know, and this is what thank you for saying it, because this is what we really want to get into. What type of mindset, and this is to our panel and guys and gals, if you listen to us on Facebook, Twitter, or wherever you listen on the radio, leave us a comment. We want to know what you guys are thinking, because this is absolutely ludicrous. Some of the most, the dumbest, I'm going to just use that word. Some of the dumbest and idiotic theories are coming out of like people like QAnon. Okay, you think about that. You got your people like Alex Jones. Okay, you have so many people that are denying the truth. And the question is, I'm going to start with you, Danny. Are these people really, really stupid? Or do they have a different agenda?
Well, my response, there is no cure for stupid. You can't fix it. So I will go further to say, when you speak on the voting and different things, the problem is the system for which we have does not shine or show the integrity of the person. They can write anything about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a personal relationship with them, you don't know them. You don't know who you're voting for. And mm-hmm. We, 21 years later, after 9/11, still haven't figured it out.
Right.
The Justice Department, the FBI, the CIA, they still don't have everything in place, but we have been infiltrated. We are a country of Philistines and and all kind of different. We're a melting pot of ignorant stuff.
Oh, that's boy. What
America is that branched out from England. The queen can't fix it. The king ain't going to fix it. There's only one fix for all of it. Oh. That's, it goes back. I always go back to love, because the lack of love for your fellow man is the problem. Mm. Now, these people get enamored with the money, with the prosperity that they can make in those governing positions, especially when they're dealing with third world countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They set up these shell companies, these corporations, the capitalistic society for which we live in is set up so those evil kings and those evil people, I say kings, but let's call them politicians.
Come on.
It's the same difference. They are not ruling from a moral place within them, because they're not philosophers of life. They're not people that love other people. They are people that love money, and the love of money is the root of all the evil.
Mm-hmm.
And America is full of it.
Right. And you know, and the thing about it, like you said, their love, put a line of that, the love money, of money. Yeah. When money becomes your God, okay, and if that's the case, then you will do anything. You don't care who you kill. You don't care who, it doesn't matter. It really, and so I'm going to switch right over to Dr. Sims, because I know she is ready here, because Dr. Sims, when Dr. Tisdale talked about love, he always goes back to love. And you mention that often on your broadcast. Folks, I'm going to just say this right now. If you haven't listened to Mrs. CC's Kitchen, okay, then you're missing a treat. You're really missing a treat, because she really breaks it all the way down. Her and her lovely co-host, and they come in and they bring it, and they tell you the truth. And if you're not ready for it, then perhaps you shouldn't tune in. But it gets hot in the kitchen, and Dr. Tilbury, Danny, you've listened to it. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Brother Tisdale. He was saying that he heard you. He listens to your show, right? And he's talked about how this show is fire. See, Miss CC's Kitchen, I'm telling you. But anyway, let's talk about this a little bit, how man is willing to sacrifice even his own. You know,
well, you know what? It goes all the way back in biblical days. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay, this is not something that's just happening. People sell their souls to the enemy and one of the things that I teach is, I teach about brotherly love. William, I'm still on Tuesday nights, but I teach about brotherly love. One of the questions that I ask is, do I have to and why? It talked about my neighbor, okay? Mm. And giving the demographic of what a neighbor is, because we're not even neighbors in our own home, and we live with each other, okay?
Right.
And so oh my goodness. It is, and the falsification of what the display of love is, it's been so tainted. It's been tainted by the greed, arrogance, hypocrisy, all of that. And the love of money is the root. Let's go to the root of all evil. Now, we're talking about even our government. They don't even have love for their brothers. They sit right in the same house, White House, and still looking cross-eyed at each other and cockeyed. But my thing is this, and I'm just going to go right to the neighborhood, because they display a falsification of love. Come on, I'm your brother.
We've
got to go back. No. It's all about what my pockets can get, okay? Yeah. And a lot of it is off of other people's pain, holding people's secrets, and things like that. Let's bring it on down to the day. The church is a hellish mess because of all this kind of foolishness.
I have
to reflect back to the church. There has to be a difference, and there is no difference in the churches. Those who say they represent our Lord.
Mm.
And the representation that they're showing, I don't want their God. I'm just being
honest. All right.
Because what they are displaying, I do not want their God. Now, we talk about, okay, politicians and what have you. I am of this persuasion with looking at history. You look at history of anybody that goes against or even undisclosed anything that remotely resembles their evil deeds done in the secret of darkness. They are knocked out. They're killed. They're found in the river. All kinds of things are happening, okay? And this, I wrote something while you all were talking, trust and fear. This is what they work on. First, they work on our fear. They work on your fear. And when you fear a thing, you don't know what to vote for. I'm just being honest.
You're right.
You don't know what to vote for or who to believe in. because we've had too many people let us down.
That's okay? Right.
And the Lord says, put no confidence in flesh. And that's exactly what he means. And in the day, and I'm sorry that they hollered for a king back in the Old Testament. I'm so sorry, sick of them hollering for a king because they needed somebody to stand before them. He just as ratchet as them. No. Okay. And many of the men of God, let's go back to the Old Testament, they started off well with the Lord. But guess what? Riches tainted them. Women tainted them. The life tainted them. Many of them. Mm. And the same thing is going on today to the point where they don't care about the well-being of people who they're supposed to be, serving and lording someone over
serving.
Them. Yes, serving is the biggest thing. People don't serve today. Okay, so that is the biggest baby because they want everybody to bow down.
All right.
Them. And I told y'all before, and William, see, you started it because I was already on the warpath.
She gonna blame me. She just wanted a reason to go off anyway. Just go ahead.
She's on the warpath.
I love it.
Just tell the truth.
Today. I love it.
I had a little flicker of fire. Now the log is all the way lit. Okay, my thing is this, is that people today want you to bow down to them. I don't care what school you went to and how papered up you are. If you raggedy, you raggedy. And the Lord told me, the only one I bow down to is God. And people get indignant nowadays because I say this and they get an attitude. I could care less about your attitude. Because my thing is this, is because of what people have done to each other. It's a travesty in the eyes of the Lord. And if people would just reflect, their definition of love is so jacked up, is so messed up. Their love is with conditions. You look at the politicians. I don't know who to vote for. Okay, I know it might be all over, but I don't know who to vote for because they all lie.
They ain't going to be red, I tell you that, for me.
There's only so much that they can do. They will lie and say this, that, and other. I'm looking at the poor Indians. Money's taken out of their land away from them to be sent to the big corporations. When they expose things, and confusion is a bulk of it. You listen to all of these, the proposition. One saying this and one saying this. You don't know who to believe. My whole basis is this. Even when they're talking about the homeless, you know that money is going to line politicians' pockets. They're not going to come on here. It is what it is. I mean, proof is in the pudding. If people would just wake up and see reality, get your head up out the sand, and if people would unite, and I still say this, we are the voice. We are the power, okay? If we were to just sit down somewhere and say, and until you change, I'm talking about the world of people. We just sit down. They would, the richy folks would go bankrupt. They would be jumping out of windows because it would affect the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they've done that.
It is real talk. But see what happened, fear causes us to believe that we don't have the power. Okay. When they've injected fear through their tactics and what have you. And then I wrote down another word, trust. I don't trust flesh, period. Because the Lord said there's no good thing in flesh. Okay. Now, if someone loves the Lord and they're walking upright and circumspectly with the Lord and doing what they're supposed to do and not just jaw-jacking and talking out of their mouths, then the example to me is the best action example. Okay. Don't just talk a good game. Be about it. Who's that? Ricky Smiley said, don't just talk about it. Be about it.
Be about it.
Because a lot of people do all this yik-yak and talking and serve you a piece of cornbread and tell you to go about your business.
You said cornbread.
Yes, she did.
No. Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, with some sweet today. Milk. Cornbread yeah, that, with
no,
milk.
Sour milk. I hate buttermilk. Okay.
No, give me some cornbread and some greens. I'm good.
I ain't good. I'll eat the greens and the cornbread, but you got to show me something. Wait a minute, you got to show me something even after the cornbread and the greens. Some rolls and potatoes and some yams. Hello, Jesus. Okay. I'll take myself into being hungry. But my thing is, we cannot put that's what's been wrong with us down through the years. We have been bamboozled, okay? by people who are sitting in front of our face lying, okay?
All right.
Even their very life is a lie. I have seen so much uncovered about leadership. I mean, I'm paying closer attention these days about leadership. I mean, it's not just in the White House, it's to the outhouse. I mean, all over the place. And if people would pay attention, because the scripture says they're carried away through the lust of their flesh. They love their flesh. They're man pleasers, okay? And they would rather believe the evil than rather than light. Mm-hmm. And so, and you know, William, my handle is the whistleblower. In fact, somebody tried to instill fear on me one time before and said, well, maybe you will not say that. Well, you be quiet. Go sit out somewhere in the corner. Sit on a grape, because I'm going to talk. Because the Lord said, what's ever done in the dark, get on the rooftop and blow the whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I know I get on people's nerves. I want to ride your nerves, okay? That's the whole key, because if we don't do this, if we all succumb to the tactics of this dying world, then nobody will walk in truth, period.
That's right.
And
that's
if
right.
we do walk in truth, there'll be so far few in between, but we'll go to hiding and we'll do it in fear. But we've got to get a handle on this and face truth as it is. Stop trusting in such. Look, Danny, you said something. We vote for something. We don't even know if our vote really counted, okay?
Wow.
Because we don't know what they're doing up in the White House.
We don't.
They tell you Joe Jack won, and you voted for Sally Sue, okay? and she Sally got Sue. The majority of the votes. But whatever the White House says, whatever they want to portray, we are at the mercy of flesh, and we're at the mercy of people who are walking in darkness. Why? Because we are ignorant. A lot of our people are ignorant.
They are.
They don't want to know what is going on. I want to know everything. I'm nosy.
Me too. Me too. And when she says ignorant, she doesn't mean that you are stupid people.
No.
Well, let me take that back. No. Some of you are. But anyway, no, I'm serious. Because if you're going to vote for, if you're going to vote for the devil, then you are stupid. And I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of devilish folks there that are running for Congress and Senate and not only on a national level, but I'm talking about in your own home state. How in the world would you ever vote for somebody that's been convicted of rape, murder, incest, or whatever it is? Or somebody who's been convicted of money laundering? It is absolutely insane. It makes no sense at all. Now, speaking of this, I'm glad you did this, Dr. Sims. Now, Dr. Sims, I remember when she first came on, she said, well, William, I got a whole lot to say. Well, can I say this? Can I say that? I said, look, I want Dr. Sims to be Dr. Sims, okay? And if they can't handle it, and then they need to get out of the kitchen. I don't know whether that inspired her to come up with Miss CeCe's Kitchen or not.
I said I got that 10 years ago.
Well, anyway, I don't care. I don't care. It all fits anyway. All right. Okay. Don't worry about it. But this is very, very serious talking about this vote. And you're exactly right. And we've also covered this. The Republicans are redistricting. They are gerrymandering. They are taking boxes away. They don't want you to mail in vote. They don't want you to do this. You have to ask yourself the question, why? That is the first question that always comes to mind with me. When somebody is doing something, I ask the question, why? What is their motive? And we already noticed the motive is clear. And I'm going to say this. And I know that I'm not going to get on the steal the vote or somebody stole the vote campaign or anything like that. But I really believe that Stacey Abrams should have won Georgia to be governor years ago. Was that 2 years, 4 years ago? Because now she's up against that person that is that Kemp that's in Georgia. I believe that's Governor Kemp that's in Georgia. And I'm telling you what, you take these red states and you look at these governors and you look at their state senators, their state representatives and things like that. And it was just revealed that I believe it was also, was it in Georgia where one of the representatives who also was one of these false candidates to be, an electric, letting people into the voting office, I know you guys saw this, let her into the voting office. Now, ironically, the machine was breached. Oh, but they don't know anything about it.
Sure they do.
Okay. And
well, first one look.
Please go on, Ann.
I just want to say you mean an elector, not an electric.
Yes, I think yeah, they all tricks.
She said elect.
Well, I'm not saying that they aren't tricky. I'm
no,
saying the word
I'm saying they're like tricks. Oh, okay, Ann. I'm saying they are tricks. Like on the street corner, they will sell anything they got. They're tricks.
I don't want folks running around having listened to Studio W Bug talking about, you know, the Republicans had them fake electrics.
Guess what?
No.
They are tricks. They are tricks. They will sell their mamas.
I'm not saying they're not tricky. Yeah, I'm not saying you don't have a point.
You know what the trick is, right? And you know what the trick is, right?
I get it. Yeah.
Okay.
The criminal that the prostitute gets.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. That. They are prostitutes.
Yeah. But they are not called electrics.
Okay.
Right. See, Brother Tisdale can tell you the difference between electricity and electors.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You're right, Ann. You're right, Ann. And you're 1,000% correct. But I kind of like trick. I really do. Okay. But that's okay.
It's a nice word. I get it. They play tricks. It's got something
the electric.
I don't put that out there because you know these people.
Dr. Sims got to hear about.
You know, I like electrics too because you know there's a whole lot of tricking going on.
Well, you know, it'll be just our luck that somebody listening to this radio program will be the one that's on the
and
news.
And we all be hunted down. Come on.
Hey, look here, don't. These electrics.
Where did you get that from, William? I got it from William.
I guess what? I will sign off on it. I will sign. Yeah, I love it. But that's okay, Ann. But I stand to be corrected, folks. That's Proctor. She is exactly right. Okay? But my point was, they are tricks on the corner. It is high paid.
Okay.
You know, like call,
Well, they're not going for election.
And come back. And go.
I'm right here. I'm still here. I'm here.
He's trying to tie the two in. You can't do that.
Oh my! I love it. No, I love this. And now, but what I have a question for you, Ann. And this is one of the scariest things that I've heard in a while. Okay. That recently, I don't know whether the panel has heard about this or the audience has heard about this or not. The Supreme Court judges in each state. Now, each state you got Supreme Court judges. Mm-hmm. Okay? And they found what you call, and we really need you on this one. They filed an amicus brief to the United States Supreme Court. Because there's something that these guys are going to file that would allow each state to pick their electors, right? Mm-hmm. Aren't they called electors? Okay. She put her hand on her head. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right.
You gonna make it, Ann.
We'll make it. We'll get through this. Okay. So, okay. In other words, no, this amicus brief, I know I got that part right. Okay, this amicus brief was filed by all of these Supreme Court judges around the country telling mm-hmm. Supreme Court that you cannot give the power to the state to elect the president. So, in other words, what they wanted to do was to eliminate our vote entirely. So, now, have you heard about this, Ann? I just saw this today. Okay.
You saw this in an article?
Yes, there's an article. I saw it that there was a something that was posted that I read, and it was talking about how they have filed this amicus brief because if the Supreme Court, which we know is completely lopsided, if they rule on this, it will allow our vote to be virtually non-existent. So that means that the state can elect the president instead of our votes electing the president.
Okay, I haven't read the article that you're talking about. I'm just from what I've been reading in the news about how the Republican Party has been trying to establish laws and has in many ways established laws that would allow them to basically circumvent the vote. Like, for instance, everybody wants to applaud the fact that Georgia's governor and secretary of state and other people didn't give in to Trump's demands to try to change the election results. They have what is very telling to me, they have gone ahead and passed laws to do exactly what it is he was asking them to do, so that should that become an issue in the future, they can do it. And it's not just them. There are other people, there are other states that are, also changing their rules so that they can make it easier to basically overturn the election results. So if that's what the article was referring to, and again, I haven't read it, then I would applaud the Supreme Court justices, who wrote an amicus brief telling us the justices on the Supreme Court of the United States that no, you should not be upholding these rules of law when there's somebody filing a lawsuit to stop them from being put in place permanently.
Right.
Other than that, I'm not quite sure, but that's just what I know in general about different states trying to put into place, because of the Republicans in their areas, laws that would allow them to circumvent the American public's vote.
Absolutely, and that's exactly right. And I will get, we're going to take a break in a little bit because I have something else I want to share with you in a minute, because we're going to get right to this. Because all of this ties together. And like I said, and the whole article was about, perhaps you can check it out during this break we're going to take. And it had applied to that, in essence, your vote really does, you in other words, and it's sort of like that with the doggone my Electoral College, which I think should have been abolished years and years and years and years ago. And you should simply go on a majority vote. But the Republicans do not want that. And you have to ask yourself, why? Okay, why do they? Because in any,
I'm watching. It's the only way they're winning elections here lately. If it
had electoral vote,
right? If it hadn't been for the Electoral College, Al Gore would have been president. If it hadn't been for the Electoral College, Hillary Clinton would have been president.
Absolutely.
There are more of us who love democracy, and who are side more with the Democrats than there are those who side with Republicans. So if all of us get together, we win elections.
Absolutely.
The Electoral College makes it possible for the minority vote in this particular instance, the Republican vote, to carry the day. And that's why they like it. However, it wasn't enough to save them in the last election. So they are working manipulate the system even more so in their favor.
Absolutely.
So that they can basically nullify any votes that they don't like.
Right.
In their
favor. Absolutely. And like I said, and with the gerrymandering, and Supreme Court even held up this with them gerrymandering. And you have to look at what's going on. Good Lord. Clarence Sambo Thomas. Good grief.
Wait a minute.
Sambo, have you heard?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm calling him a Sambo.
Sorry.
You know, and folks, no, and those of you who call him Uncle Tom, please don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. Because, see, a lot of people, and this is another thing, a lot of people get Sambo and Uncle Tom mixed up. Uncle Tom tried to help black people. He took beatings for black people. Sambo was the one that sold us out. So how did that history get twisted?
Because somebody called him an electric instead of an elector.
Yeah. Oh, that was... Oh, Ann, that's good, Ann. Oh, my goodness. Oh, she, my sister, hey, you had Dr. Dimon leaning in on that one. Thank you, Ann. Oh, boy, my sister, I love her so much. And I've got to get her. You know how brothers and sisters are. I've got to get her. I'm going to get you a real, you're going to pay for this one.
It's,
yep.
For that, William.
That's right. That's right.
You know, it's a real world example to let them understand.
That's right. Need to know what Uncle Tom was an electric. All
right. That's right. He's the electric. Sambo was the electoral. That's right.
The exception of Sambo and Uncle Tom is the same people that gave you that Michelangelo picture of Jesus.
And the one that we used to walk into. I mean, we walked into our own black churches and there was a white Jesus there.
You still walk into black churches. You walk into black houses and it's a white Jesus.
Oh, you know what? Don't invite me because I might take it down and I get locked up.
You don't need to go visit other people.
Really no, I really don't. I really don't. No, I don't.
You can't just do that at somebody else's house.
No, you can't. I'm sorry. I'm
trying
sorry.
To go to jail. Really.
I'm sorry.
Don't call me.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to call you.
And I'm not going
to anybody. You know, I'm going to have to call because that reminds me of the time when I walked in my frat house and they had a Tom Jones album in there and I booked the brother's Tom Jones album. He got mad.
Why you break brother Tom Jones?
Tom Jones had no business in my...
I like brother Tom Jones.
It's not unusual.
Not so unusual. We love
that's
you.
That's not a problem.
It is a problem. I hate that. I hated it bad.
That was wrong.
I was wrong.
There's artistry in all cultures, and I'm very.
There was no art.
Look,
William, that's on your perception.
Yeah, it was.
That is on your.
And I'm into music. But,
but you're not
that wasn't music. That was, you know.
Oh, so you're not a connoisseur.
I am a connoisseur. I ain't connoisseur in that.
We like what we like. We like what we like.
Oh, you like Tom Jones?
Yes.
He missed that class.
I don't know his
name. Okay. Hey, Danny, you're right. Hey, Danny, I missed it on purpose. Not unusual world to be loved by anyone.
Look.
Okay,
all right. I didn't like him at all.
If I like him, whatever.
I ain't like him.
Now, he is wrong for remaking Kiss by Prince. Nobody.
Yeah, he really is.
That's my point. That was my point. He ruled off the coattail.
Some records over, too, and they didn't sound too hot either. So
who was that?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you. Look it up. You're kind of sick.
I ain't looking.
Electric boat. Electric boat. You look it up. Now.
I know what electric boat is. Uh-huh.
The electric boat.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, we going to stop.
You know, we've gone completely off the rails here.
So gone to the,
oh my God. Hey, this is what I'm going to do. At this point right here, this is a perfect segue into question. Why whites are so scared of black people in America by Jane Elliott.
Huh.
Check it out.
Who happens to be white for those of you who don't know.
That's right.
Born, raised, and schooled in the United States of America. If you aren't a racist, you're a miracle. Either that or you decided to educate yourself. Because education in this country is about white is right, brown's all right, black's got to stand back. Yellow's mellow, but whites, we educate in a way that says that white males have done all the adventures, have made all the discovering, everything that is good and has been accomplished according to social studies, which is actually anti-social studies, by white males. It's a lie. But we do that in order to maintain the myth of white superiority. The myth of race has to be maintained at all costs in this country. Because if white people have to give up the color of their skin as being something that makes them perfect, what do they have left? If we start teaching the truth about history, if we start teaching about Nile Valley contributions to civilization, it will totally change the way we conduct ourselves in the classroom. It will have to. Columbus didn't discover America. You can't discover a place where people are already living. But we celebrate that every October. It's a lie. We need to get over. We need to stop telling the myths and start telling the truth.
Most people will say, I'm not racist.
I'm not a racist. Why, some of my best friends are black.
Right.
Yeah, and then you say, name one. Or this one, I don't see color. And when some woman says to me, I don't see color, I say, I knew that. If you saw color, you wouldn't dye your hair that way. Mm. Or I say, if you saw color, you wouldn't wear that shirt with those pants. I believe that you don't see color. It's an attempt to deny skin color. And it's an attempt to deny what's wrong with seeing the color of my skin. Is it all right for you to see me kind of pink? That's okay for me. I don't mind. I suspect that you don't mind being seen the color you are. You have a right to be what you are. And until people in this country and people in this world get it into their heads that the first modern human beings that evolved on this earth were black women. They evolved in sub-Saharan Africa about 280,000 years ago. And every human being on the face of the earth today has the memory of those black women's genetic structure in their genes. Now, we don't want to admit that, but that's the way it is. And as people moved farther and farther from the equator, their bodies produced less and less melanin, so their hair, their skin, and their eyes got lighter. As they moved into the east, they ate a lot of fish and a lot of vegetables, so their skin took on a different tone. I found that out when I was raising little kids. My husband worked in a supermarket. He was the head of the produce department. And they had lots of oranges that they couldn't sell. So he'd bring them home, and I was feeding my kids orange juice like you never saw in your life. They began to have an orange cast to their skin. I thought they had something, a liver problem. So I took him to the doctor, and she said, what are you feeding these kids? I said, well, lots of orange juice. She said, stop it if you want them to stop being orange. Now, if you think that skin color isn't anything other than the body's natural reaction to the natural environment, get over it.
If all white people are racist, according to you, can they be reprogrammed?
Of course they can. Of course they can. How? Of course they can be. It's called education. I'm an educator. The word educator comes from the root duck deuce, which means lead, the prefix e, which means out, the suffix ate, which means the act of, and the suffix or, which means one who does. An educator is one who is engaged in the act of leading people out of ignorance. Now, I know you can change them. The second year I did the blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise in my classroom, it was filmed by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. They gave me a copy of that film. I showed it to my father. My father was about 59 years old at the time. He's been a farmer all his life. He raised six kids, lost one, raised six. Watch that film as a 59-year-old man. When it was over, he stood up, and with tears in his eyes, he took his red handkerchief out of the back pocket of his overalls, his bib overalls, and said, I wish somebody had taught me that when I was 9 years old. Nobody had dare say to me, this doesn't work. This is too harsh. This isn't necessary. You can't teach an old dog new tricks because they're wrong. You can teach an old dog new tricks. You can teach people to give up the myth of racism. Somebody taught the Greeks to give up the myth that the sun was a god in a golden chariot that went across the sky every morning. They believed that for hundreds of years. We have believed the myth of three or four races, different races in this country, for long enough. There's no such thing as reverse racism. You can only be a racist if you have the power to institutionalize what you're doing to people who are different from you. What we're calling reverse racism is natural reaction to being treated unfairly on the basis of somebody else's ignorance. Now, don't ever let anybody say to you or about anyone around you that people don't like that person because of the color of their skin. That isn't the reason white people don't like people of color. They don't like people of color because they don't understand about skin color. And they don't understand that we all are descendants of somebody who looked like your mother. You don't really want to get me started on this. Because
I do want to get you started.
I'm really angry about how we are miseducating the American mind.
In your exercises, in order for them to see the light? Or is there another way
It's necessary to do what we do in offices and in the military and in schools and colleges and in hospitals and in community groups all the time. What we do is we become our parent ego. We go into our parent ego state, and that forces all those we're working with into their child ego state. And if you watch our present, so-called present, he spends most of his time either in his child or his parent ego state. He never gets into his adult ego state unless he's reading off the teleprompter. And he is such a poor reader that oftentimes he makes mistakes, and then he is instantly in his child ego state right in front of your very eyes. It's absolutely fascinating to watch it happen. God created human beings, the human race, and they started out black women. White people created racism. Human beings created racism. It's time to get over it.
A lot of people have criticized former President Obama on was not speaking out on race enough. Do you think he failed in that?
What if he had spoken out enough on race? Imagine what would have happened to him. The man is still alive. Do you remember Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
Amen.
Do you remember Malcolm X? Do you remember all those people have been killed not because of the color of their skin, but because of the fear of white people that someone who isn't white is going to look better, sound better, act better, do better than they do? Mr. Obama was the president of all of us. He wasn't just the president of black people. He was the president of all of us. The man who's there now is and claims to be the president of the people who look like him. When he says, make America great again, what he's really saying is, make America hate again. You need to realize that it is not the intent of white people to let this situation change in favor of anyone but themselves. And right now, white people are really frightened. If you don't understand the destruction of Planned Parenthood offices, and you don't understand the wall that we're going to build on the southern border of the United States, you haven't read the book, The Birth Dearth, by Ben Wattenberg. Ben Wattenberg was a brilliant Jewish man who was a member of the American Enterprise Institute. And he wrote a book, the first paragraph of which says, the main problem confronting the United States today is there aren't enough white babies being born in this country. He was an advisor to presidents of the United States. He wrote the book in 1987. He says there are, if we don't change this and change it rapidly, white people will lose their numerical majority in this country, and this will no longer be a white man's land. Now, I'm not misrepresenting this. I'm telling you exactly, almost exactly what he says. He says there are three things we can do to solve this. Number one, we could pay women to have babies, as they have been doing in Western European nations for years. Then he says, and these are his words, not mine, unfortunately, we would have to pay women of all colors to have babies, so we don't want to do that. He says the second thing we could do is increase the number of legal immigrants that are allowed into this country every year. Then once again, he says, unfortunately, the vast majority of those wanting to come to this country today are people of color, so we don't want to do that. The third thing he says, and white men, women had better pay attention to this, 60% of the fetuses that are aborted every year are white. If we could keep that 60% alive, that would solve our birth dearth. Does that sound like racism to you?
And okay, we're going to stop it right there. There was a lot to